Back to 1 John chapter 3. Verse 11 says, "This is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." You know, when we were first given spiritual discernment, to really hear the message, the first word we heard, the first message we heard was of Christ, the elder brother, coming forth and loving his brethren by laying down his life for us. That was the first thing we heard when God gave us spiritual discernment. The whole gospel is the message of brotherly love. Christ, the firstborn among many brethren, and how he manifests the love of God by laying down his life to put away our sin and to make us holy, to make us righteous, so that God can receive us. Holy God can receive us. That's our message, is the message of brotherly love. Christ's love for his people. And so it says we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. I've titled this, Love Not as Cain. Now, there are only two kinds of people in the world, and there's only two religions in the world. There is the children of the devil, who trust that salvation is by the will and works of the sinner. And then there's the children of God, who believe that salvation is by the works of God, by the works of Christ Jesus our Lord, whose righteousness is given to us freely through faith in him. And that's apart from our works. So there's only two kinds of people in the world, Cain and Abel. There's the religion of works and the religion of grace. And that is the two kinds of religion. Now, when he speaks here of love for brethren, it's nothing like what the religious world speaks about. The religious world is always talking about love for brethren, but it's a sentimental passion, and it's patterned after depraved men. It's the sentimental passion of depraved men, and it's patterned after the pattern of depraved men. That's not the love we're talking about when we talk about the love of God. Love which is of God is unfeigned love. There's no hypocrisy in it. It's a real love from a pure heart that God's given by creating us anew in righteousness and true holiness. It's a true love. Now, I kind of think John might be contrasting the two, the child of God and the child of the devil here. And here's what I mean. He says here of the child of God, he says, this is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And he's contrasting that with the child of the devil. Because you remember Christ said in John 8, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. There's no truth in him. We hear the love of Christ from the beginning, and we're told to love one another from the beginning, but the child of the devil is of their father who is a murderer from the beginning. So that's what's in the heart of the child of the devil. So what I want to do tonight is see what we can learn about the unfeigned love of God, of the children of God, by contrasting the hatred of Cain towards Abel with the love of God's children. We'll do a contrast here. We'll see He says, not as Cain. So we'll look and see how Cain hated Abel. And however that is, the love of God's the opposite of that. All right, let's look first of all. Love is of God. Love is of God, and it's contrasted with hate, which is of the devil. Look here in verse 11. This is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. The child of the devil is like Cain. Cain was of the devil. He was of that wicked one. And so he did what his father did. Christ said he was a murderer from the beginning. And so Cain slew his brother. He murdered his brother. The devil and his children hate Christ and his children. The devil and his children hate Christ and they hate the church. That's what we find. Go to Genesis 3:15. Right after there was sin entered the world and the curse came upon us, this is what God said to the devil. He said in verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. The woman is the church. The church. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. That is, between the devil's children and between Christ who came through the church. So there's enmity there. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. For the devil bruised the heel of Christ, in the process Christ bruised the head of the devil. So not being born of the Word of God, the child that's not born of the Word of God, the child of the devil, his desire is to kill Christ. And why does he desire to kill Christ? It's because he hates Christ. He hates Christ. He would kill Christ because he hates Christ. But he can't get to Christ, so he takes out his hatred upon the child of God, those that believe. In John 8:37, I want you to look at this. John chapter 8 and verse 37. And listen to what Christ said right here. He said, I know you're Abraham's natural sons, but now watch this. But ye seek to kill me, and here's why. My word hath no place in you. That's why. Look down at verse 42. He said, if God were your father, you would love me. You would love me, because I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. So here's the contrast between Cain's hatred. The contrast of Cain's hatred. We see what unfeigned love of brethren comes from. First of all, unfeigned love is of God. Cain's hatred was of the devil. Unfeigned love is of God. Cain's hatred was because he was born a natural son and kept under the power of the devil. Unfeigned love comes because we're born of God, born of the Holy Spirit of God. He said, Christ said, if God were your father, if you were born of God and he was your father, you would love me. So unfeigned love, first of all, is toward Christ, and it's from being born of God. And then thirdly, he says here, it's from being born of incorruptible seed. Christ said, the reason you don't love me is my word has no place in you. You haven't been born of my word, and my word has no place in you. But for the child of God, being born of that incorruptible seed, there's where the unfeigned love comes from being born of him. So the child of God is like Abel. Now let's go back here in 1 John 3 and let's look at Abel. Abel was of God. He was of God. He was chosen of God, redeemed of God, born of God. And therefore, we love our brethren who are born of God. Look at, let me just give this to you. Hebrews 11:4 says, By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It was by faith. And we're only given faith one way. That's to be born of God. Be born again of God and given faith as a gift. Well, that's exactly how unfeigned love is given. Have to be born of God and it's given to us as a gift. Go back over there again to 1 Peter 1. And look again right here at verse 22. He says, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Unfeigned, non-hypocritical, there's no guile. Remember Christ said to Nathanael, there's a Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin and in whose spirit there is no guile. No hypocrisy. We're not talking here about love that you and I have to do something to produce it. We're talking about something that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, he said in Galatians 5, is love. And when God's created a new man in you, that new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. And in that new man, there is no guile. He says here, your souls are purified in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. So you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Go over to 1 John 5 and look at verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. There's the faith that he gives from being born of God. But something else accompanies faith, and that's love. And everyone that loveth Christ that begat, loveth our brother also that is begotten of him. This is a gift of the fruit of the Spirit, a gift of the Spirit, just like faith is. When we're born of God for the first time, we believe on Christ and we love Christ. And we love our brethren. Unfeigned love comes from being born, it comes from being of God the Father, you're a child of the Father, comes from being born of God, and comes from being born of the incorruptible Word of God. The first brother we love when we're born of God, the first brother we love is the brother we hated, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're brought to Him and we cast all our care on Him because we're begotten of Him, and then we love all other brethren who are born of Him because we're all of one. Remember Hebrews 2 said, Christ is not ashamed to call us brethren because we're all of one. We're of Christ. He that does the sanctifying and those that are sanctified are all of one. Go to Hebrews 4, look at verse 3. He tells us here, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbear one another in love. And here's what believers try to do. Here's what we endeavor to do right here by the Spirit of God. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now here's what I mean when I say we're all of one. Look here. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. We have one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. There's seven things. That's the number of perfection. There's seven ways we're one right there. We're perfectly one in Christ Jesus. God's people are. Just like a body with all the members in it. And as Paul says in another place, when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Your whole body can be fine and nothing's wrong with your body. And you have a sore tooth. And all you can think about is that sore tooth. The whole body can be fine and one member be in trouble. And the whole body suffers over that one member. Isn't that right? Because we're one. We're one. Now, secondly, go back to our text. The child of the devil hates the child of God because his works are evil and the child of God's works are righteous. 1 John 3:12. Wherefore slew he him? Why did Cain murder Abel? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now get that. Cain's works were evil and his brother's righteous. This is why he slew him. We're not talking about his evil work of murdering his brother yet. We're saying this is why he murdered his brother. Because his works were evil. Let's go see again. Genesis 4. What was it Cain did? What did he do? Genesis 4, his works were evil. You know what he did? He did what John's been talking about. He did not righteousness. He was one who doeth not righteousness. What did he do? Verse 3, in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. That's what he did. That's all he did. Cain came before God expecting to be accepted of God by bringing the works of his own hands. He brought the fruit of the ground with no blood. With no blood. And there's a very important picture here. You remember, God cursed the ground. He cursed the ground. And Cain brings to God fruit that had been produced from the cursed ground. And that's what you and I do if we try to come to God with fruits that works that's been produced by our flesh. We're coming to Him with fruit from the cursed ground. From the cursed ground. And God won't receive that. So Cain's works were evil. He did not believe on Christ. That's the picture there. He didn't believe on Christ. He was one that does not righteousness. That's what John means by doing not righteousness. Not believing on Christ. Why is it called that? Because like we saw, it's a transgression against God the Father and God the Son. God the Father said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him." Christ said, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He sent. So to deny the Son is to deny the Father. John said earlier, back over in 1 John 2:4, he said, he that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments are, believe on the name of His Son that He sent and love one another. A man can say, I know Him, but he doesn't rest in Christ alone. He doesn't love his brethren. John said he's a liar and the truth is not in him. The word's not in him. And in verse 23, he said, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He's transgressed and he's not abiding in the doctrine of Christ. And John said in his second epistle, the man that transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. That's the first thing. That's why it's called doing not righteousness. It's a transgression against God the Father and God the Son not to believe on Christ. And then we saw this. It's also a transgression against the whole law of God. John said there in verse 4, 1 John 3, 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin's the transgression of the law. Whoever apostatizes, who rejects Christ, he's under the curse still. He's under the law still. He transgresses the whole law of God. Abel's works were the exact opposite. The exact opposite. Believer, our works are the exact opposite of that. It says his brother's works were righteous. Go back to Genesis 4 and look at verse 4. What did Abel do? What's the one thing Abel did here? Abel was one who does righteousness. What did he do? Genesis 4, verse 4. And Abel, he also brought, but he brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Abel came in the blood of a substitute lamb. Abel came confessing he was a sinner and that he had to be represented by a substitute. He had to have a substitute die in his place. It's the only way he could come to God. That's coming to God through faith in Christ. That's doing righteousness. Why? It's the exact opposite of to do not righteousness. Go back over there to 1 John 2 and look at this. He said, verse 4, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, believing on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and loving his brethren, in him verily is the love of God perfected. The love of God brought him there. Remember? The love of God brought him to that end, to bring him to believe on Christ and love his brethren. Hereby know we that we're in him. Look at verse 23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but the exact opposite. But he that acknowledgeth the Son, he hath the Father also. And so over in 2 John, go over there with me, 2 John chapter 1 and verse 9. We're contrasting. This is just the opposite of Cain. Look here, 2 John 1, 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. That's how Abel's works were righteous. That's how, and so believing on Christ, he didn't transgress the law. You know what he did? He fulfilled the whole law of God. The law hadn't even been given at Mount Sinai. But he fulfilled the whole law of God through Christ, the last Adam, his surety. He was perfectly righteous. Now, look at God's response. Go back to Genesis 4 and look at verse 4. This is what stirred up that wrath in Cain and made him kill his brother. What's the opposite of that? Stir up love, make you love your brother. Everything that makes the child of the devil makes him, it stirs up his enmity and makes him hate the child of God. It stirs up love in us and makes us love one another. Look here, Genesis 4:4. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. You know, when your countenance falls, you can't hide it. Whenever there's something wrong in the heart, the countenance falls. The saying is written all over his face. You just see it. And Cain's countenance fell. And look at this. The Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Now listen to what he says. If thou doest well, you know what he just said? If you do righteousness, if you believe on Christ, if you come in the blood of the Lamb, shalt thou not be accepted? That's exactly what he said. If you do righteousness, if you believe on Christ, you'll be accepted. Why? Remember John said, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness, he that believes on Christ, He's righteous even as Christ is righteous. That's why God said, if you do well, you'll be accepted. Look at here. And if thou doest not well, you keep coming with the fruit of the ground, the works of your own hands, sin lies at the door. Sin lies at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. That goes with believing on him. He says, if you believe on Christ, sin shall not have the dominion over you. You're not under law, you're under grace. If you reject Christ, it's because sin has got the reign and the dominion over you. That's why. So Cain talked with Abel, his brother. He heard this response from God. And so Cain, in enmity, his anger is stirred up within him. So now he's out in the field and he meets Abel. And they're going to talk. Cain wants to talk to him. And I know right along the lines that this talk went, because I've had this talk on many occasions. You have too, if you know the Lord, with somebody that doesn't know him and is religious. It goes something like this. Abel, is this what I'm supposed to believe? You're just better than everybody else. So God chose you and Christ became your surety and God accepted you just because you're better. And Abel answered him. I'm sure Abel said, no, that's not it at all, brother. I am a sinner. I'm a vile, wicked sinner. The only thing that made the difference is the grace of God. God did the choosing. I didn't love God. He loved me. He did the choosing. And he chose me in his Son, and Christ became my surety. And then he caused me to be born of his Spirit and gave me faith. And taught me this gospel. We've both sat there hearing our father Adam preach this gospel. And God opened my heart. I didn't open it. I couldn't open it. I didn't have a will to come how God says we should come. But God gave me the heart to come. And I came through faith in Christ. I came with the blood of this lamb because I need the woman's seed to die for me. Or else I can't come to God. Because I'm a sinner. And you that are born of God, you would hear that, and that would stir up your love for Christ. That would stir up your love for him. That would make you love Christ and make you love everyone that's begotten of Christ. But what's the opposite of that? Hearing that did nothing but stir up more wrath in Cain's heart. It stirred up the wrath because Abel declared, all the works are of God. And God gets all the glory. And that stirred up Cain's heart more and more and more. And it says in verse 8, Genesis 4, 8, and Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and he slew him. Go back to 1 John 3. I'm going to show you this. I pointed this out. Brother Art saw this, I know, because we talked about it, but I don't know if everybody got this. Look back here at 1 John 3 and verse 1. That word behold means is knowing. You know, he said if you know, that verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, that same word know. If you know Christ is righteous, you know everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. And so we know what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. That's our gospel. We declare the manner of love, how he chose us freely, how he sent his Son freely to redeem us so that we're justified freely by his grace, how he gave us the Spirit of adoption and made us to see we're his children and did all this freely apart from our works, knowing what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. You know how Christ said that? He said, the world hates you because it hated me. See, the very thing we declare that is where we're trying to say, no, it's not me. It was nothing about me. It was all the work of God. And we're trying to tell this to somebody. And when you're younger in the faith, you think, they're going to rejoice to hear this. They can cease from their works and rest in Christ, and they're going to rejoice to hear this. And you find out real quick, it just makes them matter and matter and matter. Telling them what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us declares to them that all their works are wicked works. And it makes them angry. It makes them angry. Listen to this. Christ told the Pharisees, I know you. You have not the love of God in you. How did he know it? He said, I am come in my Father's name and you receive me not. He said, I'm come to do the works that no man can do. I'm come because God the Father sent me to lay down my life to be satisfaction for the sins of my people so I can bring my people to God righteous and holy and without sin. That's what he's declaring. He said, I've come in my Father's name and you received me not. That's how I know. That's how I know the love of God's not in you. Cain hated Abel because his own works were wicked and Abel's were righteous. That's why. Now go to John 15. I want to show you this and I'm going to start winding it down. John 15, 18. John said, we know what manner of love the Father's bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Now listen to what Christ said. He's quoting Christ. This is how Christ said it. John 15, 18. If the world hate you, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. There's the love of God that makes the reprobate hate Christ and hate us. We declare God chose us. And Christ came and he drew us out of the world. So we're not of the world anymore. We're of God. Verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant's not greater than his Lord. If they've persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they've kept my saying, they will keep yours also. There's the love of God that the apostate hates. That word comes, and they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. But that very same word, that very same gospel, caused us to be born again and gave us unfeigned love for Christ. Look at verse 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. There's the love of God bestowed on his people that the child of the devil hates. This word came and stripped away all our false refuge and all our fig leaves and exposed all our best works as nothing but sin and brought us to cry out for mercy. And that makes us love Christ. That makes us rejoice that he did that for us. That makes us take sides with him against ourselves. But that makes the child of the devil hate to hear this gospel. Look at John 15:23. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now they have now they both seen and hated both me and my Father. There's the love. That's the love. That's the love that makes us love him, and that's the love that makes the apostate hate him. He came, brethren, and fulfilled the law and the prophets for his people. He came and did the work that none of his people could do. Made us righteous, established the law for us. But see, that exposes all the works of the self-righteous man to be nothing but sin. It makes all his works to be nothing but sin. And declares if you don't rest in Christ, you're under the curse. But see, that where that stirs up wrath in the child of the devil, it stirs up love in our heart, makes us love him. Verse 25, but this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that's written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Unfeigned love is the message we heard from the beginning. The message of how Christ came forth and laid down his life for us. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Christ laid down his life for us. That's what we heard. That's the first word you heard. That's the gospel. That's why we come to hear it. We come to hear the message of love. But it's not this sentimental, silly mess that the world is speaking about. They regard God as some old fella that he doesn't really like sin, but he just kind of winks at it and he'll just pass it by. And he's not going to really be harsh with anybody. That's not who God is. God says, I will by no means clear the guilty. And so he sent, this is love. Love's in Christ because the love of God is holy. He only does what's holy. And he sent his son to lay down his life so that God might be just to justify us. That's the message of the gospel. And that stirs up love in your heart, stirs up hatred in the child of the devil. The kindness and love of God toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness we had done, but according to His mercy He saved us. By washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us. We couldn't even come to Him. Even once He had done the work, we couldn't hear it and come to it. He shed on us abundantly through Christ Jesus. That having justified us, we might be called and given the spirit of adoption and made heirs of God according to the hope of eternal life. Cain was filled with enmity because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. But that same enmity. You know how Christ... Go to Ephesians 2. Show you one more thing and I'm finished. One more thing. Ephesians 2. You know how the law of commandments, Scripture says that was the enmity between the Gentile and the Jew. The Jew had the law of commandments, and so he felt like he was more holy than those Gentile dogs because he didn't eat certain things, and he wore certain things, and didn't wear other things, and just all these commandments that made him hate the Gentile because he felt like he was superior to the Gentile. And it was all self-righteousness. It was all, he missed what God was telling them through that law. He missed it. He thought he was fulfilling it and keeping it, like we saw Paul Sunday. He thought he was alive without the law. He couldn't hear it. And that's what you and I will do. That's what Cain and Abel did. Cain came and he thought he was righteous by the work he did, but when he heard God say Abel was righteous and Cain was not righteous, it made him angry. But God sent his son and Christ took those law commandments out of the way. He fulfilled them so that Jew and Gentile are no longer at enmity with each other. We're all one in Christ now. Well, he does the same thing for all us, brethren. He makes it so we can't use the law to exalt ourselves. We can't use anything to exalt ourselves. Look here, Ephesians 2:14. Because he is our peace, who's made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both to God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. You see that? He fulfilled the law. Now none of us as believers can use the law to try to exalt ourselves over each other. And look, he came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. And through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, so that now you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Just like he did that between Jew and Gentile, his elect Jew and Gentile, he's done that for all of us. We all are just worms. We know that. We're sinners. And so we can't exalt ourselves. We can't get angry with our brethren. But at the same time, we know this. We're righteous in Christ because of what Christ did. So we have no reason to be filled with enmity. This is what fills us, by God's grace, with the unfeigned love of brethren. And so what do we do? He said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, if a brother in Christ be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's what Christ did. He didn't wait on us to do something to make ourselves lovable. And he's telling us, don't you wait on your brother to do something to make him lovable to you. You bear his burden. Just like Christ bore all our sin and bore our punishment when as yet we didn't love him. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Because if we think ourselves to be something, I can't believe they treated me that way. I can't believe they did that to me. Well, who are you? Who am I to think that? Don't be deceived, brethren, because if you think yourself to be something when you're nothing, that's all you're doing is deceiving yourself. And so, brethren, he tells us there at the end, don't marvel, don't be amazed if the world hates you. You see why? You see what the difference is? As soon as this world finds out that you trust God and God's done everything to save you and you attribute all the works to him, he that will live godly in this world shall suffer persecution. And the more religious a man is, the more he's trusting his works, the more you're going to suffer persecution. But you see why? It's because God's given you, that's true unfeigned love, to be born of God, born of the Spirit, born of the Word. So that you see you're righteous in Christ, your sins put away, you have no reason to exalt yourself over another, but you're righteous in Christ. So when your brother's overtaken in a fault and he offends you, now you can just bear his burden, remembering what Christ did for you, and trust the Lord to teach him and trust the Lord to bring him back around. That's all we can do. That's what we're supposed to do. That's the law of Christ. That's the law of love. I pray God bless it. Amen. All right, Brother Art.